That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome to the first ever episode of Jumpy Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast hosted by me, Jessica. Each month, myself and a guest will go over what went down in All Japan, things we liked, things we didn't, and much, much more. And today, for the first ever episode, my guest is Lewis.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe I'm the first guest on for the very first episode, and it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited. A lot of people don't know this, but this is like the third time we've tried to do a podcast. So yeah. Hopefully this one sticks.
Yeah, I know. We were like, the last time was like Ships in the Night, where you had Simone on as the proper guest. And then I just jumped on for the awards at the end. So it was like, I was there and we were there, but it wasn't like a conversation. But this is, it's the one. It's got to be the first one of the brand new era.
Yeah, the first time I had COVID, so I had to drop out. The second time we had to cancel the episode. And yeah, unless we have like a statewide blackout, the electricity goes out,
Fingers crossed that doesn't happen.
So just a quick note before we get into the carnival. We won't be going over every match because if we did, we'll be here all day and we have stuff to do. But we're just going over a couple of matches from each show. So let's begin. We start on day one, all the way back at the beginning of April in Corican Hall. Suwama defeated Rei Saito in 8 minutes and 31 seconds. Shoto Oshino defeated Hokuto Omori in 7 minutes and 2 seconds. Lord Crew defeated Ryuki Honda in 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Yuma Aoyagi defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 15 minutes and 38 seconds. Ren Ayabe defeated Kento Miyahara in 12 minutes and 17 seconds. And in the main event, Yuma Anzai defeated Jun Saito in 15 minutes and 18 seconds. So I want to start off with one of my favorites, just because of the shock I had when this guy walked out from the back, but it quickly turned into an obsession, which is Ren Ayabe and Kento Miyahara. I absolutely loved his new look. I love the pink hair. It didn't click with me that he looked like Okada till you actually messaged me and said,
yeah,
it's like Okada. Yeah. And it's ever like since
brand
then,
new Okada.
That message, I'm like, damn it, that's all I can see now. But honestly, the new gear just suits him so much. He seems so much more confident. And Kento was like the perfect opponent for, yeah, the new Ren. Yeah. So this was his second match as an All Japan wrestler. His first one was the New Chronicle show. And he pinned Kento in his second ever match. Well, it took Yuma like 6 years to defeat Kento.
It's the added foot and a half or whatever he would have on Yuma. That's got to be it.
That is true. But he has a new finisher, Death Ruler. I think it was really, really cool. And Kento continues his losing streak for a day one champion carnival match. He hasn't won since 2019. So I was 100% sure Ren was going to win this. I would have bet money that Ren would have won.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like a lot of people were like, oh, you know, maybe that's a bit too quick with Ren taking a win over Miyahara so quickly. And it's like, I can understand that to a degree, but when he walked out looking the way that he did, and like you said, the air of confidence, like night and day difference between the guy that you saw on the show previous and then the start of the CC, like It was, and I think it carried through the entire carnival, honestly. And there's probably matches where that played into finishes and results, but he was in his element the entire match, just eating up the crowd. Everyone was feeding off him. You could see it, like there was a real swagger to the way that he was carrying himself. And yeah, I think it's the perfect way to kind of kick off his carnival as a massive win over a multi-time TC champion.
And I love the little pat on Kento's head and the smirk Ren has on his face. It's like he wants to smile, but he's like trying to play it cool. I'm just like, damn it, Ren, just smile. It's
Yeah,
okay.
exactly.
Another match I want to talk about is Anzai versus June. So Anzai also has new gear and a new finisher. I think it suits Anzai. It's not as dramatic as Ren, but it's very much Anzai and it just suits him so well. I love it so much. But this was so much fun. June and Ray just have grown so much since last year's Champion Carnival. Like, I didn't want to watch their matches last year. I'm like, oh my God, I have to sit through this. But now I'm just like, yes, please more Satoru Brothers matches. But it's just, Anzai got dominated so much in this carnival. I was just like, oh, like, I know he's not going to come out of the gates like a Kento or Sawama because he's still learning on the job, basically. But it's just like, he is crown champion. Like, he shouldn't get dominated this much. But in this match, I thought it was okay because June is also a champion. So it is champion versus champion. Anzai has a new finisher called Gimlet. And I did do some research, and all that popped up was a restaurant in the city. So am I going to go to a restaurant because it's Yuma Anzai's finisher? Probably yes. Lewis, if you want to join me, I will
Yeah,
understand if
absolutely.
you want to come.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I just thought this match was great. It was a good showing for both men. I like that they got the main event because I think they deserve the main event. But it's just like, this is the start of Anzai's beatdown. His champion carnival was just his beatdown. He had a good carnival, but I want better from him.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, it is learning on the job, and I think a lot of the time you make like people make that switch in their brain, like, well, he's triple crown champion, so therefore he's not untouchable, but like things should come a little bit easier to him. It's like, no, you have to remember where this guy is ultimately in years in the ring. Like, he's a baby, he's a complete baby. And like the win over Nakajima almost feels like it was significant, obviously, but it is still got a level of flukiness to it in terms of overcoming such a massive obstacle like that. So I don't hate that he had a rough CC. I think it's kind of telling to be like, well, I'm not that great all the time, always. Like I have my nights where I'm very on, and when I'm in the moment that I need to perform, I absolutely can. But consistency wise, that's just something that he has to work on, clearly, which is a good story. I actually had a different pick as my other match. You got Ren and Kento because I think that's everyone's going to pick that because of how shocking it was for him to come out. And you're right, Anzai's gear is it's so stripped back, and it's perfect for who he is, which is just bare bones working man's man wrestler, where it's like it's almost like a Jumbo. He looks a lot like Jumbo, to be honest. Like the gear looks a lot like Jumbo. But my pick was actually Yuma Aoyagi and Davey Boy Smith Jr., which I thought it was a really good match. It's a different match than what I would typically think as like a Yuma style match. I think it was definitely more aimed towards Davey Boy, where it, like, it was a lot of kind of world of sport kind of back and forth trading of roll up pins, stuff like that, for Yuma to sneak out the win, which was great. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I think I will talk about the Westerners in this CC and their impact that they had. But in terms of Davey Boy, I didn't catch the final match that he was in for his block, which I think probably would have been pretty good considering it was against Kento. But I feel like I probably caught one of the better matches for the CC right here on the first night for him against Yuma.
The Yuma Davey Boy match was good. My favorite bit was like Yuma's jig and just him acting like a complete asshole when he won. It's what you expect from the guy, and that's why we love him.
That was the theme through the whole CC, like watching matches of him. And him just being a smarmy little dick the entire time to anyone that he was wrestling. It didn't matter if it was Jiro or if it was Ishino. It doesn't matter who it was. It was just him being really irritating to the point where you could see people get visibly frustrated with him.
So we're going to move on to day two now. Shota Ishino defeated Rent Ayabe in 11 minutes. Suama defeated Hartley Jackson in 6 minutes and 52 seconds. Yuma Aoyagi defeated Kurusho Tokyo Japan in 11 minutes and 44 seconds. Yuma Anzai defeated Lord Kuru in 7 minutes and 31 seconds. Jun Saito defeated Hideki Suzuki in 13 minutes and 8 seconds. And Kenta Miyahara defeated Hokuto Omori in 16 minutes and 38 seconds. Lewis, where do you want to start?
At the very first match, another IRB classic, in my opinion. Him and Ishino was great. I think, like we were saying, I think he came in with that kind of energy of, well, I've just beat Kento, and I already feel this good about myself anyway. This is Ishino, you know, I can kind of work my way through this. And I felt like that kind of carried through the entire match of, like, I've got this handled, like, it'll be fine. And Ishino just went, absolutely not, and flipped the script on him, which was great. I thought the getting down on his knees to almost be exactly the same height as Ishino anyway was hilarious. But yeah, the super, super condescending pat on the head, just kind of smiling, being a smart ass the entire time, only to have Ishino turn it on and just go, okay, I'm done pissing around now, like, it's I'm turning it on, and getting in with the ankle lock was incredible. I thought it was a really, really good match.
I thought Ishino kind of took up where Kento left off, making Iyabe look really, really good. The height difference, like you said, was just hilarious. We love Ishino, but he's a bit on the shorter side for All Japan, not for other companies, but just for All Japan.
Yeah, he's a short king. Yeah.
Credit to Ishino. He gave like Iyabe a ton in this match. I thought he would get more offense than he did, actually. Ishino cutting down the giant Ren was like a really cool visual and just a good match all around.
I had that. And then the other match I had, which is just reading it now on the page, was a surprise to me, was Suwama versus Hartley Jackson. I wanted Jackson on there. I actually really do like Hartley. Like, I think also just the Australian bias as well from myself, I think, is a massive thing. But I thought coming in, honestly, of the four Western guys coming into the tournament, I actually was kind of the most excited for him because I've seen his other work in places like Gumbare and Gleet, as well, sorry, Great. I enjoy watching him. He's a great bruiser. And against someone like Suwama, it's just dudes running into each other really hard. And again, super like short sprint. And Jackson, poor guy didn't get much through the entire tournament, unfortunately. But I thought what he did show for the skills that he does have, I really enjoyed it.
Dylan and I on the Eastern Lariat, because I did a review of all the Champion Carnival matches over there, we christened Beef Block because it was just a lot of beef. And this was like, this was your classic beef match where just two guys just run into each other. And I think it was one of the better, beefier matches of the whole tournament.
Yeah. Short and sweet. That's all it has to be. Like a good under 10-minute match of guys just running into each other super hard. That's all you want.
I have a different match from B-Block I want to talk about, and it was a
Right.
surprise to me. My favorite of the day was actually Jun versus Hideki. I
Nice.
Didn't really know what to expect from these two. I didn't know how they would mesh, but they actually worked really, really well together. The referee, Wada, like smoothing back his hair, like copying Jun's taunt was just perfect, especially since Wada didn't have a lot of hair left.
Yeah.
But they played to his strengths. They worked really well together. It was just really, really fun. And I like how you can kind of see like little brother Ray like peeking through the curtains watching this. It was really, really cute.
Little giant brother Ray. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about Hideki at some point. But yeah, I think especially in the first night, considering where he was on the card and then in that performance that night, because I think I did catch that match as well, it speaks a lot about Jun's performance for the entire carnival, which I'm sure we'll talk more about.
This was like our first proper look at Lord Crew. Do you have any opinions?
Yeah. I think for having four guys that were pretty similar to each other, you set him up to fail as hard as possible. And I think despite that, he did pretty decent. The first night was obviously a flash in the pan because it's literally a 2-minute match, which was like, let's get in all our moves as quickly as possible, really show what we've got, get the win, get out of there. I think putting him against Anzai is great because Anzai will work his ass off. And again, throughout the entire CC, that dude didn't wrestle over 10 minutes. So he's very clearly like, work hard and fast, big move impacts, like quick, which is good. I think that's important, especially in any kind of tournament because things can tend to drag occasionally. So you need somebody like that. But it's very, very hard to focus on someone when you have three other people that look very similar and wrestle sort of similar.
I think maybe something that would have helped if he was brought in before the carnival to do a few matches, because he was like the unknown. This was his first tour of Japan. You know, out of the foreigners, everyone knew Cyrus, everyone knew Davey Boy for his time in New Japan, and everyone knew Hartley because, like you said, he's worked in a bunch of other promotions. But Lord Crew is like the unknown. So, like, he has fans. Like, a lot of people want to see him back. A lot of Japanese fans I've seen on Twitter say, please come back. But I think he would have benefited with like a few debut matches that wasn't the Champion Carnival matches.
And like, we'll talk about it as we get further down. But I think the final night, like the finals, the tag match that he was in, I really enjoyed that. I thought like you could see a visible change in his ability to kind of structure the match and be in there and do the things that he needs to do before tagging out again. I thought he did really well in that spot. And this happens with everyone when they do their first tour. If you're going to get better, it takes until the end of that tour before you start seeing the rewards of doing that.
I do like his like jumping high kick, spin kick thing. I think that was unexpected, and like the crowd popped for that too.
Well, I mean, he is still a big guy, but he is leaner than the other three by a country mile. So being able to be a little bit more dynamic in the way that you like throw moves at people is going to just distinguish you a little bit more from the pack.
I just want to bring up a match because we were talking about it before we started recording and we very much disagree on this. Yuma versus Kuroshio, and just for like a FYI, we'll be calling him Jiro like the whole time because that's what we know him by.
That's
not
what
Kuro
we know
Jiro. Like, that's no name. It's Jiro. I thought this was a dud. I thought they should have left the little girl in the watermelon shirt alone. Like, just leave her alone. She doesn't want to be any part of this. This was more of just two guys goofing off than a wrestling match. But Lewis, you think differently.
I loved it. I thought it was so funny. I thought sounds awful. Children crying at wrestlers, like bawling their eyes out, especially at someone in Jiro. He's not the Saitos or, you know, Cyrus. He's not scary in any kind of capacity. If anything, I would think children would gravitate towards him with all the colorful, like all being super colorful and happy and stuff like that. But it's so funny that, like, Yuma walks over towards her, not a problem. Crying kind of stops. Soon as Jiro gets near her, tears, like, waterworks immediately. And, like, I don't know. It just made me laugh so hard. And, like, I was saying this to you before we started. Like, it takes a lot for me to be like, yeah, that was tolerable with a Jiro match. Especially, you really, really set the stage when you take that long to get to the ring. Like, you're testing my patience already. Especially when I was on crunch to get through as much of this as I could. But I found this like really funny. So, and maybe it was exhaustion. I'm going to half blame that. Maybe it was exhaustion and that's why I was laughing so hard. But I enjoyed it.
Moving on to day three, we have Jun Saito defeated Hartley Jackson in 7 minutes and 47 seconds. Kuroshio Tokyo Japan defeated Cyrus in 3 minutes and 12 seconds. Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Shota Ishino in 13 minutes and 5 seconds. Rei Saito defeated Hideki Suzuki in 6 minutes and 45 seconds. Kenta Miyahara defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 20 minutes and 15 seconds. And in the main event, Riki Honda defeated Yuma Anzai in 21 minutes and 13 seconds. So I'm going to start off with my favorite, my two boys. I'm wearing my next dream shirt today, Kenta Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi. I thought they did this match too early in the tournament. It should have been done later in the tournament. You could have had Kenta and Yuma on the same points and then like battling it out this match, like whoever wins is going to take the lead. I have problems with A-Block and their points they did. I'll get into it later. Despite all that, it was good. It was your basic Yuma versus Kento match with all the hits. It wasn't going to get anywhere near the singles matches from last year. I think they had three and they were just all amazing. But if this was your first Yuma versus Kento match, it's not a bad place to start. But I would say like start watching others.
Yeah.
These two have a formula. It works for them and it hits the mark every single time.
Yeah. And I wrote something similar, to be honest. I said, another classic in the history books for the two of them. It's fun to see with any kind of continual combination of people in matches, how they build spots they've already had, and the continuation of that. The fake out spot that Yuma has done in the past of tricking Kento into thinking he's completely done and then getting him, either hitting him with a move or rolling him up. to build that into Kento, then hitting that now on Yuma is such a fun dynamic, and it will just continue from that point to the point where it's just like, we're not believing either of you, or the other's not believing the other one. There's no way I'm falling for that anymore. But I think, like I was saying to you previously, as much as I think a lot of eyes were on the new generation of guys coming through this tournament, no one in their right mind will ever say, oh, I don't really want to watch a Yuma and Kento match. Like, that's not really for me. Like, it's a comp it is like foundation of this company at this stage in the last couple of years that those two are like the dynamic match to put on big shows. So yeah, I'll always have time for watching those kind of things.
So another match I want to talk about is the main event. And when I was writing my review for this day, I said this was the match of the tournament and it might be hard to top. We will get to that later. But I thought this was great. Start to finish, two tag partners going at it, which if you know me, you know I love when tag team partners fight. I just think they go extra hard on one another. They left everything in the ring and they really deserve the main event. Like instead of like a classic pairing like Yuma and Kento, it was just these two young guys from the new generation showing them up. The last 10 minutes were absolutely great. I adored the ending with Honda catching Anzai, who was about to hit a jumping knee, delivering two lariats and then the final event. I thought this was an awesome guy by two guys on the forefront of the new All Japan. And I can't wait for Honda's triple crown shot if we get that, because we don't know what's going to happen with the winner of the Champion Carnival.
Yeah, we've still got now we've got Ren and we've got him signed. There's a couple of dark horses that we need to give a bit more attention to, in my opinion. Honda is 100% close to the top of that list. But yeah, I think like when I was watching these last two matches of this show, all I was thinking was, God, like the top three teams in this company, which I would consider to be NXTREME, New Period, and the Saitos, not only do you have incredibly compelling tag teams, but every single one of the members of those teams are single guys at this point. Like, I think it's undeniable to say that through after the end of this Champion Carnival. Like, everyone can be slotted into one of the two roles and fit perfectly. And the NXTREME explodes, and then right into the New Period explodes is such a fun. I agree with you. I think it was early, honestly, for both matches. I think it was kind of early in the tournament, but they delivered, big time delivered, and they were great. Like, semi-main and as a main, that's all you could ask for ultimately.
So, day four now. Kyushu Tokyo Japan defeated Hokuto Omori in 3 minutes and 12 seconds. Jun Saito defeated Lord Crew in 5 minutes and 37 seconds. Cyrus defeated Ren Ayabe in 9 minutes and 21 seconds. Hideki Suzuki defeated Riki Honda in 5 minutes and 47 seconds. Shota Ishino defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 12 minutes and 6 seconds. And in the main event, Yuma Anzai defeated Suwama in 19 minutes and 8 seconds. And Lewis, which match do you want to talk about first?
So I only got to watch one from this show, but I looked down the card and I went, what is going to absolutely deliver? And I had to pick Yuma versus Ishino. You can't not look at that, those streams, and be like, yeah, that's going to give me exactly what I want. But again, that was Yuma just being on his shit and pissing Ishino off, which was really fun to watch. I think like the entire time, all I was thinking was, if things had just been different, we could have had an Ishino challenge when Yuma was champion. Like, and how incredible that would have been. Because in 12 minutes, they had a match like this, which was great. Like, it was incredible. The dueling German dumping on their head spots, especially the first one from Ishino, which I would like, I think I saw a gif of it a few days ago, but I remember going, holy shit, that's close to the neck. Like, that's horrendously scary. And then just like the last gasp of fire, like that lariat into the T-bone to get like just the draping arm pin on Yuma. I thought it was incredible. It was so much fun. And like, again, those two, this whole tournament, especially Yuma, which shock and like shock horror that we're saying this, really, really, really put in their best effort the entire time, I feel like.
Yeah, I love this match. These two just have amazing in-ring chemistry and they always fight like they want to kill each other. It's always been like that. I don't know how it started, but they just hate each other in the ring. I thought Yuma's reversing the ankle lock to the end game was really, really cool.
Oh, I wrote that too. Yeah,
And
incredible.
just like what you said, like Ishino suplexes, the one where Yuma landing on his like neck slash head, it just made me cringe up and like,
Yeah.
curl up into a ball. Like it looks so nasty and so scary. But I did love Ishino's tweet to Yuma's younger brother, Asuki, who's out with a knee injury. He said, I'm glad the surgery went well. I hope you recover and come back soon. I'll beat up your brother until you come back.
A great promise of health. Yeah.
And he kept it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will talk about the main event, Yumanzai and Sawama. Sometimes Sawama wrestles like he's going to collapse, and the next second he'll like throw a lariat and take your head off with it. And this was one of those matches. I had a problem with Anzai looking weak or getting beat down in the CC, but with Sawama, I was okay because Sawama is Sawama. I love him. I'm a Sawama respecter. Like, screw all the Sawama haters. Sawama is the old ace and someone Anzai needs to beat, and it not being so easy for him to beat. So I think this was the right choice. And for Anzai to win with the face lock that like Fuchi gave him was correct as well, because in the gimlet, I don't think he'll be able to pick Sawama up with that.
No,
he
it's a big
needs
man.
To tweak that move so much so it works. It's kind of like with Honda's final event. He kind of struggled with it a bit, but now he can hit it on people like Ray. So Anzai needs to tweak this. I don't know how he's going to tweak it. He needs to, because Sawama was never going to get up for that. So I did like seeing the face lock come out from Fuchi's match that he had back in January. That was actually really, really sweet.
Yeah, I think, again, this the perfect match. Old ace of the company who is still very much there as a potential threat. And I think a lot of people, from what I understand and was reading, considered Sawama as someone that could have been in the finals and possibly win the entire thing, because he still has that aura to him. I think, you know, we're a good couple of generations on now in terms of what the focus is, but still now he holds on to relevancy just by who he is. And throwing him against, I mean, you look at what he did to Yuma in his reign and how much of a threat he was then. And I think, like, that's the thing. He's an ace in the hole forever. You don't know if you can clear him easily. So, like, he's always a potential threat to end reigns or win tournaments, even now to this day.
I have a theory. I want to know your opinion on it. When someone's in the Triple Crown reign, I think they need to beat Sawama and then Kento to really, like, solidify their reign, to make it like, okay, this is, like, a proper reign. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. It's a massive undertaking. If you beat one, I feel like that's, you could hang your hat on that to begin with anyway. But yeah, I mean, that is, it's the generations of the company ultimately. Like, you have Sawama and then you have Kento that led the next generation after that. And then I guess you don't really have anyone to crown at this stage on who would that be, like, that would be. I mean, maybe you would consider Anzai at this stage, but again, very young. Don't know if that would be the case. What would you say if you were to pick someone right now, what would you consider to be that person in the current crop,
like another Sawama and Kento
on that level? Yeah,
maybe Yuma.
Yeah, I could see that. I always forget that Yuma is a couple, like, quite a few years younger than Kento and hasn't been around as long, but you're not, that's not a bad shout actually.
So you'd be the old ace, Sawama first, then you beat Yuma, who's like on his way to ace status.
To being
and
there,
then
yeah.
You beat the ace, Kento. I think that would be a good, like, run.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, without, you know, without giving away the outcome.
Everyone's seen it, you can give it away.
Well, okay. Like, I think as long as you continue to do that, which I know me and you have a similar opinion on the outcome of that match, but so long as you keep relevancy for those people by letting them win those kind of things, the power and mystique of beating them when it comes to TC matches, it holds value. Like, that's the thing. You just can't have, like, it can't be, oh, the new generation, we focus on that, and everyone else kind of gets the shit end of the stick. Like, so long as you let people continue to be in important spots, you'll always hold that gravity when it comes to those matches.
Well said. Day 5 now, and we're going to head to Osaka. So you know what that means. It's a bodyguard performance time. But this show, he came out to Yuma's music, so he didn't get a chance to sing, which was really disappointing. So I'm going to say Yuma has been the ultimate hater. But for the card now, and Hokuto Omari defeated Ren Ayabe in 9 minutes and 48 seconds. Hideki Suzuki defeated Hartley Jackson in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Kento Miyahara defeated Cyrus in 12 minutes and 43 seconds. David Wick Smith Jr. defeated Kurisho Tokyo Japan in 10 minutes and 47 seconds. Jun Sato defeated Riki Honda in 14 minutes and 7 seconds. And in the main event, Rei Saito defeated Yuma Anzai in 20 minutes and 57 seconds. So I was trying to pick a match from A Block and B Block, but A Block, this show was kind of, ooh. I think the best was Kento versus Cyrus. I think these two have faced off quite a bit, so they're kind of like getting into like a rhythm, finding their own formula. It's very much a Kento beatdown, followed by a quick roll up and Kento getting the win. But it's still fun. Cyrus has really found his spot in All Japan, I think, and the fans love him. I really like the referee picking up spot he didn't ever match. Like, he picks him up like they weigh like a piece of paper or something. They're so light when he picks him up. But Kento winning and just sitting on a chair in the ring like it's a throne is just peak Kento. It's so Kento. The referee had to get down on his knees to raise his hand.
His idolization of Hogan makes so much sense as to why he loves Cyrus so much. Like, you can see he's like the whole time his eyes are glistening because he's like, "This is my Andre. This is my Andre. It's great. It's great. Everything's great." And I think that's it. Like, he works really well with massive, massive dudes that he has to overcome. And Cyrus, I think he's a good wrestler in himself, but I think the fact Kento is so adamant on being like, this is going to be great. Like, it's going to be, David and Goliath every single time. It brings a whole nother level to it on top of that.
I forgot that Kento idolizes Hogan, and that's so right. I just didn't realize that. Like, yeah, that's his Andre. Yeah, that's such a good point.
You had your choice of big guys in this tournament, but like, Cyrus has been that dude for him ever since he's come in. So yeah, I think that's really, really true. I believe it was Alicia or Rachel who made one of those comments previously. I think that's how I'm remembering that. But yeah, it's so true. It definitely that dynamic when they're in the ring together.
So in the main event, there were two Saito Brothers versus New Period matches with Junior Honda going 1-on-1. But I thought this one was so much better. I loved it so much. And Ray is just the coolest motherfucker that ever lived. He absolutely dominated Anzai in this one where it looked like Anzai had no hope of getting back. Where like other matches, he's like, okay, he's done, he's come back. But this one's like, nah, he's done. Like dead. I loved when they were brawling and Ray found a sign a fan made of him, and he was so gentle hitting Anzai with it. Like, he didn't want to break it, he didn't want to bend it. It was just so adorable. And that sign actually makes an appearance in another Ray match. So, like, that fan is dedicated. They followed him around.
A whole section, like that seating area, was all just Ray. Just Ray.
But Ray is just an absolute monster. He pinned two Triple Crown champions in like 1 year. The first one obviously being Nakajima and now Anzai. So hopefully he gets his Triple Crown championship match this time. And I like that Ray is like a mountain that Anzai still hasn't got over yet. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, I think, yeah, this was massive. Like, I was, for context, I was watching this earlier this morning and I was on a phone call for work as well as watching this. And I had to, like, I had to watch how excited I was getting during the match. 'Cause you're right, like, pretty much the entire time was just Ray battering him. And then the finish of, it's Shote, right? That's what it was.
No,
What is it?
is it like a German food? I can't remember what it's called, but I think it begins with I, actually.
Okay. I thought it was the Liger move. Is it not
I think
the
it is, but
palm
he has like
strike?
a he has a different name for
Here's
it.
a different okay, here's a different one for it. That makes more sense. Incredible. Just so good. And he's, yeah, like you said, he's an absolute mountain. And like, I mean, after this tournament, I don't know anymore, but like, Ray was far and away. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm more of a Ray guy than I'm a Jun guy. And like, I think that's changed now, but it's insane, like, how the both of them are. I mean, we'll probably say that another five times. We're about to talk about them again in a minute, but it's insane how much they carry themselves, and in like just very interestingly different ways. Like, yes, they're both big, yes, they're similar-ish move sets, but like, there is a difference between the way that they move and what they do in the ring to each other.
So we move to day six now. Yuma Aoyagi defeated Cyrus in 8 minutes and 52 seconds. Lord Kuru defeated Rei Saito in 6 minutes and 57 seconds. David Boy Smith defeated Hokuto Omori in 11 minutes and 33 seconds. Yuma Anzai defeated Hartley Jackson in 9 minutes and 4 seconds. Kenta Miyahara defeated Shota Yoshino in 18 minutes and 40 seconds. And Hideki Suzuki defeated Suwama in 15 minutes and 17 seconds. And take it away, Lewis.
The Hideki Suzuki fan has checked into the building. He's here. This was, I think, like, for cherry picking, probably one of the best Hideki matches this entire tournament. Him and Suwama, like, it started going. I was like, this is pretty good. Like, these two are, like, I mean, they're tagging together right now, and I think they clearly enjoy wrestling each other. But I was like, wow, this is really good. This is really good. And then like Hideki just started twisting and turning Suwama as much as humanly possible. And I was like, wow, this is really going. I think it's, I get it. Like, I get how you feel about Hideki. And I think that's a pretty fair assumption most of the time. Like, sometimes the lights are on, other times, I can't really be bothered. And like, I think that's a fair assumption. Like, it does depend who he's in the ring with and the night. But I just think the finish of Dan throwing in the towel because Suwama's too stubborn to tap out is such a cool finish as well. Because he was like, there's no, he's done. Like, it was on the ground being stretched out. There was nothing happening, but he would just refuse to tap. And so, like, I think that's such a fun way to kind of get around him being like, well, I never gave up.
I actually forgot about this match. I was watching the stream live and I thought Kento versus Ishino was a main event. So after that match I finished, I turned off the stream, closed it. So I had to come back to this match and I was kind of hesitant because their match last year was really, I don't want to say bad, awkward, maybe the right word. Like they just didn't mesh together. But this was so, so good. Yeah, like what, like you said, like one of the best matches of the tournament. They had a mix of mat wrestling, submission, and some nasty elbows. They definitely made up for their previous match. And yeah, in the end, they deserved the main, even though I forgot about it.
No. And to your credit, they put Ishino and Kento as the image for that show. So I thought that too. And then I had to look in the match card and I was like, well, I want to watch that, even though it's the main and we're not using that as the match card. Like, it's a weird thing not to use the graphic for the main event. But I think a lot of people would assume that Kento and Ishino are the selling point there.
Talking about that match, I thought it wasn't as good as Yumo versus Ishino match, but it was still really, really enjoyable. Ishino targeted Kento's leg and worked through it like the entire match. I'm not a huge fan of limb work, but for Ishino, I will be always. Ishino's the exception. But it was funny because Kento kind of like forgot to sell the leg most of the time.
He's not great with that. I
No.
love him for all the things that he's great about. Limb selling is not one of his strong points.
Ishino should have won. I honestly thought he was going to win because I think they might have been on the same points at this point of the tournament. I can't really remember, but they were really close. But yeah, if you love ankle locks, you'll love this match.
Yeah, somewhere Smiley was getting really upset for some unknown reason at the very moment. I know he had things to say by the end of the tournament about point standing, which I'm sure we'll get into, but fair, very fair.
So day seven, we had Laura Crewe defeated Hideki Suzuki in 5 minutes and 55 seconds. Rei Saito defeated Hartley Jackson in 9 minutes and 41 seconds. Saris defeated Hokuto Omori in 6 minutes and 46 seconds. David Wee Smith defeated Ren Ayabe in 11 minutes and 29 seconds. Suwama defeated Riki Honda in 11 minutes and 42 seconds. And in the main event, Kento Miihara defeated Kurishiro Tokyo Japan in 6 minutes and 22 seconds. So I'm going to bring up a guy who we haven't talked about. Hokuto Omori. He's had a weird tournament.
Yeah, horse guy. Yeah.
He's in his like horse boy era.
What
That's
was
what.
going on? It's like, I don't, I love him dearly. And I'm like, that will never ever change. I think he's come along massively in the last year. And especially when Nakajima was around, I think he really helps him kind of build confidence. What were we doing? What were we doing in this tournament?
Who knows? If you don't know, actually, he wore a horse mask to the ring and he had a friend in a horse mask who's still unmasked. We don't know who it is. Yeah, he used to have this mask. I think he wore it first when he was at a press conference for the junior title match when he was going up against Tiger Mask. And then he wore it to the Junior Battle of Glory tournament press conference. And then he lost every single match in that tournament. So he brought it back. I think it's like a bad luck charm, but he loves it.
Yeah, it was just it's really weird to go from like dude who has a move to knock people out and win matches to I need to do this kind of gimmicky thing to sneak wins and get roll-ups. Like I just don't like I love him, but it does feel like we're just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks at this stage when I feel like you had something that stuck before. You were Nakajima's prodigal like bastard son that he was pretty reluctant to have around, but you started learning stuff off him and got his acceptance. We couldn't keep rolling with that and building confidence. We couldn't do that. Now we got to go into this. I don't know. It's whatever. But yeah, I want more from my boy.
Like, he had his original team of Doi, Suzuki, and himself, Minoru Suzuki this time. And then they kind of left. And then he was with Nakajima. And then Nakajima's like living under a bridge now or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
Selling so, t-shirts. Like, yep.
Maybe like the horse mask is a comfort blanket for him.
He had to go back to what he was familiar with. Yeah.
But this match, he didn't actually wear the horse mask. And I thought it was stupidly funny. Omori really tried every sneaky thing he could think of to get the pin. Chair shots didn't work. Low blows didn't work. I love when he sat in the crowd to blend in and he was betrayed by the cameraman. And like people taking photos of him, like, leave him alone. He's trying to hide. Stop pointing him out. It was short. It was stupid. And Hokuto and his facial expressions just made the match.
Yeah. If he's nothing, he's worth a laugh sometimes in the way that he does things. Like, you can always rely on that.
I just want to mention another stupid match. It was actually the tag match. It wasn't a tournament match. It was Yuma and Tachibana versus Dan and Ishino. Yuma was also wearing a mask and wearing different gear under a different name. I can't remember what his name was. But, like, Ishino was playing along, like, he didn't know who it was. And when he ripped off the mask and realized it was Yuma, you could see, like, the hate fill his face and eyes. He kept the storyline of wanting to kill Yuma, and it was absolutely perfect.
Yuma collected enemies through this entire tour because Jiro was none too pleased with him by the end of it either. Like, there was animosity there that I haven't seen from Jiro in a very long time.
So just one more match before we move on, and it's Suwama versus Honda. I thought this was really, really good, except for the finish. It was like a Suwama versus Mini Suwama match. Honda has like the two-tone hair. He has like the black gear with like the fancy accents just like Suwama. He throws around power moves. I would love for Honda to adopt Suwama's backdrop, but I think it might go to Dan. Like, Dan will get that honor because Evolution Brothers, really. But Dan was actually at ringside as well for this match, and he was like ready to throw in the towel as well. It was really cute. Dan's like, you know, Suwama's number one boy.
Yeah.
There were two matches in this tournament where I think they had the wrong person win. I know like tournaments are a numbers game and sometimes you get upset wins, but I thought this was one. And Ren versus Yuma was another one. But this was still good. It's like old age versus new age, which is kind of the storyline going on in All Japan now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's the clashing of the generations, but not as formal or like as obvious as what I think some people would think. But yeah, it's exactly what we were talking about beforehand. Like, I think there was a pretty strong sentiment of we're not quite done yet from the two older generations, as opposed to the one that's just been crowned, of don't count us out. Like, we're still here, very much still here.
On day 8, we head to the Sato's hometown of Miyagi. They actually had to change the venue to a big one because of ticket sales. And talking to Dr. Jonathan, who was at the show, said there were very few empty seats left of the seats they added. And the card, they had Hartley Jackson defeated Ryuki Honda in 10 minutes and 12 seconds. Suwama defeated Lord Crew in 3 minutes and 21 seconds. Yuma Oyagi defeated Ren Ayabe in 10 minutes and 23 seconds. Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Saris in 10 minutes and 20 seconds. Kurishige Tokyo Japan defeated Shoto Ishino in 9 minutes and 10 seconds. And in the main event, Rei Saito defeated Jun Saito in 23 minutes and 57 seconds. Lewis, where do you want to start?
We're going to start at the main event. And hold on, I don't want to blow the microphone out, so I'll do it away from here. I think this is, for this year so far, one of the biggest achievements that this entire company can hang their hat on. Like, this attendance and just looking at it on camera was so impressive. The entire show, it was incredible. The fact that you have to change venues and even then almost sell out the brand new place that you've just booked is so, it speaks absolute volumes to like the ability of the Saitos and how incredibly popular they are now in their hometown. And like, even not on from last year, I remember last year was a really big turnout as well. Like, that was incredible in itself, but this, like, just to keep going, it's nothing short of like super, super impressive and really good for the company in general. It's awesome. I know that like not everyone is going to love this style of match, and that's fine. Not everyone loves a brawl, and you know the Saitos fighting each other is sometimes you'll get something a little bit different if they're fighting someone else, which is good. I think they bounce well off other people when they have to be, like we've said, a huge immovable force in the ring. But the continuation of this from their last singles match against each other, and the fact that Ray finally gets a win over his older brother, I think is such a fun and like cool story to continue on, especially considering, you know, he had to obviously offer up that TC match to June because he injured himself, unfortunately. Like, I think obviously he's a huge fan of them. And I know Simone is probably going to feel the same way. Like, you're going to follow them really closely, but it's pretty hard to escape like the awesome story that they've kind of been weaving over the last kind of year of just like personal growth individually and together as a team.
You've got to say the best bit of this match, the bet they made with each other.
True.
So if Ray lost, he had to stop drinking beer until June said, okay, you can drink again. And if June lost, he had to stop eating his favorite sweets until Ray said so. And it was such a sibling bet. Like, I just love it so much. The brothers were the reason everybody was there. They put on a great main event. They fought how only brothers really could. Ray with the big strikes and tons of energy, while June actually started using his legs more and showing like kicks and knee strikes. I think it's just really, really cool. And I know they're brothers in the tag team, but I like that. That really sets them apart, because Ray's not going to do those moves. He's just going to like hit you in the face. Yeah. Or June will kick you in the face.
Yeah. It's crazy to like say there's a dynamic person in the Saitos as a tag team, because they are still huge, but like that was something for the entire tournament. June was hitting knees to the back of the head or like to the back, a lot of leg based offense, which is it's good. It does differentiate the two of them.
And I don't know how many people saw this. They had a meet and greet at the end of the show, and the line just snaked around the whole arena like many times over. It was insane. I've never seen a line that big for a meet and greet, and I've gone to tons of conventions and stuff, and like never that big.
Yeah, I said something on Twitter, I think, the night that I was watching it, but like the art of hometown of shows and huge turnouts, I think it's very few people can do it anymore. Like big companies, I don't tend to kind of like, they might do it, but the advertisement of it is very rarely as prominent as people like All Japan or Dragon Gate. Like I would say the two of them have really honed in and masked like, hey, in 2 months, we're coming here. We're coming back home. We're absolutely going to be on the show. Buy a ticket, support us. You watch it. People come out in droves to go and support people from their hometown.
Yeah, All Japan does that a lot. You'll see like tournament posters and they'll be like, let's just say, Umanza, he'll be front and center.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at Virginia.org.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
It's his hometown, so he's the main event for those people there. He's the main attraction, and they do that all the time. You look at the posters. Like, I remember one that had like Kento and Inoue because they're both from the same area, and just like, okay, there you have the ace, he's the main attraction, but so is Inoue. Inoue is kind of still a rookie, kind of graduated from that, but I think it's just really cool that All Japan does that.
Yeah, and it's smart. Like, you know, Tokyo is Tokyo and people will always run shows there, but making sure that you have a presence in other prefectures around the country is such a key component of growing new fans. Otherwise, you'll just stagnate ultimately.
I was thinking, like, imagine if one of them come back to Triple Crown Champion and faces the other brother.
Yeah, exactly. And like that's why like you can think about things like exact like a continuation of singles matches, like even if they're tag champs, oh, we'll come back and we'll either defend the belts or we'll verse each other. It's a huge, it's just smart. It's smart and it's a huge selling point for people to come out to shows ultimately.
Another match on this card was Jiro and Ishino. And I think if one person was going to get a good match out of Jiro, it was Ishino. They're kind of like tag team partners, but Tachibana's in the mix. I'm kind of confused what their deal is.
That's Wrestle One. Wrestle One never dies. Never, ever dies.
We'll live forever in our hearts. Jiro matches have annoyed me because there's been so much goofing around and his extremely long entrances just added on to that. It's just really a slog to sit through. But this match, there was minimal goofing around and just good wrestling. It was the only Jiro match to sit through if you had to watch a Jiro match, I reckon.
You're not wrong about that. It's, I don't know for certain, but it's a shame if Jiro and Tachibana are joined at the hip because I could do without one of them and the other I absolutely want to have get a contract. Like that's, I really want Tachibana in this company full time now. Like, it went from, okay, he can turn it on when he needs to like, this dude's like, can't miss every single time he's in a good position.
Tachibana and Jiro are always together. If you look at their Twitter, they're always with each other and they just released new merch that says best friends. So I think they're going to be attached for a little while longer. Day 9 now, and it was only B-Block matches since it was a B-Block finals. Harley Jackson defeated Lord Crew in 8 minutes and 27 seconds. Riki Honda defeated Rei Saito in 13 minutes and 1 second. Hideki Suzuki defeated Yuma Anzai in 10 minutes and 45 seconds. And in the main event, Jun Saito defeated Suwama in 14 minutes and 18 seconds to win B-Block. So before we get to the main event, I want to talk about Hideki Suzuki defeated Anzai. Every single time Anzai got a little bit of offense, Suzuki was so quick to stop it. This was very much a Suzuki match, and I would have loved to see Anzai try to force Hideki to wrestle more his style, like try to like one-up him, like I'm the Triple Crown champion, I say how he wrestle, but no way. It kind of felt at times Suzuki was toying with Anzai, just kicking him with like really, really lazy kicks, like, you know, just like whatever, you're nothing to me. I don't mind Anzai tapping out to a single leg Boston Crab because Suzuki worked the leg the whole match. And Anzai actually had that leg taped up. So I didn't mind the finish. I know people said like that's a rookie move. No one should be tapping out to that. But I think it was really smart in this match. And if there was one person Anzai had to tap out to, I'm glad it was Suzuki.
And that, like, it's funny that you say that. That is a component of why I love Hideki. It's like you'll just get in there and go, no, fuck you. Like, we're wrestling like I want to wrestle. And like, I'm going to, if I don't feel like you're going to bring it to me on the mat, I'm going to make you feel stupid. I think that's, if everyone was like that, it wouldn't be great. But I think having rare people where they're just kind of like, we're going to move at my pace and we're going to move at my pace the entire time, unless something super, like something pushes that narrative really hard or somebody pushes that narrative really hard. I love that about him. I think that's like old school grappling guys like that are what I love. So yeah, but I agree. I think there's nothing wrong with tapping out to a single leg Boston Crab, especially with somebody who like a Deki who will target your limb the entire time to make sure that hold means something to them.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like Hideki and Anzai have kind of had this little rivalry in the past, like where Hideki's always targeted Anzai. And they've done like, I think it was like 2 15-30 minute drills or something for Hideki to get the win. And while Anzai's Triple Crown champion, which could lead to another match, is actually really, really cool.
Yeah.
It will let Anzai get his win over Hideki.
Well, and that's the thing. He's yet to challenge for the TC, isn't he?
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. And it would be, again, somebody of the older generation that is still a mountain in their own specific way that Anzai could climb over.
In the main event, Jun and Suwama, for me, this was a shock of the whole tournament. And you know this, I was so sure Suwama was going to win. I think I told you this like about 20 times, like, yeah, Suwama's got this. So when Jun got the 3 count, my jaw was like on the floor. It took me some time to be like, okay, Jun won, like he's going to the finals. Wow, this is big. I don't want to say like because Jun's bad or anything. I thought because they're in like a big venue, the Buntai, for the finals, I thought they had to have a big match. And a big match in modern day All Japan is Kento versus Suwama. So to have Jun there, I was like, wow, they're really going all in on this new generation. But this match was just really, really good. Two big guys running into each other. Beef block again. I love that Soama took a page out of June's book and started like throwing sumo slaps at him. I thought that was really, really cool. And this crowd was 100% pro Soama. They were booing June at times. I thought, okay, as soon as you see him take down his hair, you're going to say ooh and ah. But like they were really quiet at that point as well. Oh, we should mention this was in Giant Baba's hometown. So maybe that's why they were pro Soama.
Exactly.
But when June hit the psycho break, I was like, okay, Soama's going to kick out. And I, like the crowd thought that as well because they were still cheering crazy. But yeah. June won, he moves on to the finals. And when he was in the ring giving a post-match talk, he said when he wins, he's gonna lift the ban himself on eating sweets. He's not gonna wait for Ray to say, yeah, you can eat.
Yeah. It's so funny. The tone of voice and the cadence that both the Saitos speak in, and then they're talking about, I want to eat sweets and I'm going to make sure that I can do that. But you're right. I think to me as well, following it along, both Ray and June obviously were performing really well the entire tournament. But I think in terms of points, keeping track of that, it was kind of almost sneaky the way that he got to that stage. And then you're like, oh shit, like there is, he's still in the race. Like, but like Suama's in there and like we, same as you, it's a big building. They're going to obviously want to put something that has history. It makes sense. And then he beats him and you go, holy shit, it really is like we're putting our trust in you. Like you stepped up for this TC match. You did well there. You've done well. Both of you have done well, separately and together. Like, let's see what we can do when it comes to the finals, ultimately.
So A Block's finals were on day 10. 1,278 fans packed Corican Hall, and I thought this was a good number considering that All Together Again and TJPW were running on the same day. In tournament matches, we had Ren Ayabe defeated Kyushu Tokyo Japan in 9 minutes and 37 seconds. Cyrus defeated Shota Ishino in 7 minutes and 57 seconds. Hokuto Omori defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 8 minutes and 59 seconds. And in the main event, Kento Miihara defeated David Boy Smith Jr. in 26 minutes and 12 seconds to win A Block. Where do you want to start, Lewis?
At the Gyoza TV match is where I'm going to start. I do think also, considering the number as well, I feel like this was the day that Ryzen ran in the dome as well. Or sorry, somebody ran
Oh,
in the dome
yeah, there
as
was
well.
boxing?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Which is huge. Huge. Like the fact that you still got that number and right next door you have the Tokyo Dome that are running an event as well. Like it's a massive, massive hats off moment to All Japan for that. But yeah, I think like we talked about this, but the junior heavyweights on this entire like last month or so, even longer, like the last year of simultaneously running tournaments have outperformed heavyweights this entire time. And like this was, it speaks volumes about the quality of All Japan because this is considered to be a mid-card belt. And like that's the purpose of the Gyoza TV title. These guys work their fucking ass off the entire time. The quality that they put out for this match is insane. Like, I just wrote like Tachibana being like so on top of Dan the entire match, just choking continuous variations of the choke, whether it was like rear naked choke when he was doing the bridge on the ground, like just continuously trying to wear the bigger dude down was such a smart way of bringing Dan back down towards kind of a level that was manageable for him. It just reaffirms that Tachibana should have a contract. Like he should be signed here, but he should be signed anywhere. He's too good to be a freelance guy still. I don't know why you wouldn't snap somebody up like that up because he's perfect in this kind of role. It doesn't matter if he's challenging for tag titles, doing the mid card, being a challenge for the junior heavyweight. Like you can throw him pretty much anywhere and he'll do a good job. So yeah, now that we have Ayabe, that needs to be the next person, in my opinion.
I agree. I love Tachibana. He's just so good. And his stupid glasses, he comes up at every show.
Disgusting elbows too. Those two, like you talked about the ones with Suwama and Hideki, but like him and Dan throwing shots at each other was revolting at times.
We didn't talk about it, but they've been wrestling on the undercard the whole Champion Carnival, like Trady wins. So yeah, this match was gonna be so great because like they've worked together so much, and it was one of the best matches of the Champion Carnival season, and it outshined what 90% of the Champion Carnival matches.
Straight
Like
up, yeah.
it was just so good. Dan and Tachibana went out there, they completely stole the spotlight from other matches to come on the day. Nothing topped it. It was my favorite match from day 10. They got 15 minutes and they used all of it so effectively, and they deserve all the praise they got. And I felt like the time really flew by fast.
Absolutely.
And I read online that not only Western fans, but Japanese were saying like this was the best Goro TV title match ever, hands down. My memory of it is like it was an accessory when I first started watching. Yoshitatsu had it for like over 500 days. Is he going to defend the belt or like is this just nothing? That's what my thinking when I first started watching All Japan. But now like we have these matches. Okay, don't stop, please. Like keep going.
Yeah.
And it is free on YouTube. So you have no excuse not to watch it.
No, and it's a great jumping off point. If you're somebody that like knows of All Japan and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to get a subscription, like I don't know if I can commit to that or watching a carnival, watch that match. Watch that match. And it's a good indication to show you like, A, this is what the junior heavyweight division is like most of the time. And B, this is what you can expect from top tier matches in this company. Like, and you will at least have one to two to three of them every single tour anyway. I think perfectly said. This is the purpose of this belt, is a working man's title ultimately on the undercard. That's what it's supposed to be.
In the main event, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me with my thinking. I don't think it was good as B Block Finals, just put out straight away. I think it was the wrong move to have Davey Boy in the Block Finals. With June going through to the CC Finals, there's no way Kento's losing. You're not going to have a finals being Davey Boy versus June. No, that's just impossible. You could have Davey Boy score high, but have Yuma and Ishino also score high. Because, like, on the final day, it was just Dave Boy and Kento. While on the final day of Block B, there were like four, five people on 8 points. Block A wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't
No.
great. I
Yeah.
enjoyed B Block a lot more, which I thought would be the opposite. I thought it would be the opposite way. I'll be like, okay, B Block boring, A Block awesome. But yeah, Kento won. It was a fine match. It was a very big match, Kento show. He delivers. But I felt flat with this one because I'm just like, Kento's winning. Davey Boy says bye. He's gone back to America. What do you think?
I think I know one particular person that we're both friends with that will it'd be hard to hear this, but I don't think he's a great fit for All Japan, I'm going to be honest. I think there is a significantly different style between New Japan and All Japan in the way that you wrestle. I think Davey Boy was really good for New Japan. I think it makes sense for him to wrestle in New Japan. I think when he was given positions in New Japan as a single person, he did really well for himself. I don't know if that super heavily influenced. Well, actually, there's been other people that I thought have done well there. But, like, I don't know if his particular play on that works as well. Like, he's a big guy. He's a really big guy. And doing that kind of world of sports wrestling as a dude that big and that tall, it can come off kind of awkward or look a bit awkward at times. Like, I feel like you have to be someone, even just like as a bit like Lord Crewe. Like, if you were the same size as that dude, I feel like it would work more because he's more limber. He can move around more. He's less mass on his body. It's hard not to have a good match with Kento. So at least he had that ultimately. But you're right. Like, the setup was, it was too obvious on that side. It was the exact opposite of B. B was a shock to, I think, most people. And A was a home run of like, well, that's not going to be anyone else, is it really? You could have easily, if you wanted to, put Yuma in that position that Kento was in and have him versus Jun. And I think you still would have had a great match.
What do you think about Smiley's hot take that Kento was the most disappointing person in the tournament?
I think if you've watched someone for something like 6 years, the shine that they have when you even 3 years in is pretty gone by that point. Like, you're either invested, and you're like, I love knowing exactly what it is this person's going to do in almost every single match, which I think a lot of people are pretty familiar with Kento's game at this stage, or you're going to go, I need to invest in someone else, somebody that's going to shock me and that will develop more at a faster rate. And that's why I feel that way. Like, I think I have people that I really enjoy and have for years and years and years, but I love getting invested in somebody brand new because I get to watch them build out a move set and play around with what they want to do in the ring, that kind of stuff, and like how they carry themselves in the ring, like Ayabe through this entire tournament. Like, you really get to see somebody come into their own. Yeah, I think when you're consistently good, it's hard to figure out if somebody's brilliant at times. Like, that's the difficulty. If you're always pretty on, then you stop shining as bright as others when they have good moments versus bad moments.
I don't think Kento was the most disappointing, but I wasn't enthralled with every one of his performances. And okay, it's a Kento match, like let's get it over with. I think okay, Kento's gonna win, whatever. Like he was, I think he had like one loss to Ren Ayabe, and that's it. Like he seemed like unstoppable. It's just like maybe if there was more of a struggle in B Block and seeing Kento struggle more, he might have been more engaging to me. Like, I love Kento. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's one of my favorites in All Japan. He's one who got me into All Japan. I don't think this was his tournament. I think I was more interested in the younger generation than you guys more. Like, okay, what are they doing? To have the Kento versus Yuma match, I mean, being like, okay, this is a match of the day. You know, this that's very, very strange for me. So, he did good, but not great.
It's that shiny new toy feeling. Here are all these people on the rise. I've been told to care about them. I am invested in them because I watch them through every show. And this guy has been here for years and I've watched him. And I think even longer, 2019, 2020, I was seeing people being like, well, Kento always wins all the time and he's always the TC champ and yada, yada. And it's like, yeah, that's how like people build in companies. That's how it works. You have to have old reliable so that you can then have time to like slowly build people up and not rush them straight into a main event when they're not ready. Like that's how that works. But I don't know. Time and patience is not something that the IWC seems to really have very much of. So
we finally reached day 11 and the finals at the Yokohama Buntai. We had Dan Tamura and Musashi defeat Andy Wu and Seki Yoshioka in 7 minutes and 35 seconds. Lord Crew and Hartley Jackson defeat Hoka Tomori and Kuma Arashi in 10 minutes and 51 seconds. Yuma Oyagi, Akira and Shiro Hoshinaka defeated Kirishio Tokyo Japan, Shoto Ishino and Seigo Tachibana in 9 minutes and 3 seconds. Rei Saito defeated Ren Ayabe in 11 minutes and 41 seconds. Suwama and Hideki Suzuki defeated Masakatsu Funaki and Kono in 12 minutes and 27 seconds. Riki Honda and Yuma Anzai defeated Cyrus and Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 13 minutes and 33 seconds. In the junior title match, Ryzen Hayato defeated Kaz Hayashi in 13 minutes and 52 seconds. And in the main event, we had Kento Miyahara defeat Jun Saito in 27 minutes and 15 seconds. Before we get to the main, I want to talk about the junior title match. And I was a bit worried in this match about two things. I thought Kaz would win. I thought they'll give him a thank you reign. And two, I was worried about how they would mesh because Kaz had a title match with Asuki and it was bad. I think with the juniors, you see a lot of people either fit or they don't. Doi fits perfectly. When we had Keito Ishida, he didn't fit. Kaz is kind of somewhere in the middle. Like he's good, but sometimes he's just like, he's not that great. But my worries were squashed. Hayato retained, and this was actually really good. And I can't start off with talking about Hayato's new gear. The plaid is still there, but he's a new color scheme of blue, purple, and pink. And I like it more than the purple outfit. And like, confession time here, I didn't like the purple that much. I was more into the white, his first gear. But moving on, Hayato's top rope jump to the outside with what ended like him looking like he smashed his face on the guardrail.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Really bad. Really bad.
All Japan has 4 signed juniors and 2 of them are out injured. We can't afford another one out. But he looks to be okay. It's a couple of days now from the match and he seems fine. So hopefully it is. I think this match fell into the old veteran who still has a few tricks up his sleeve versus young punk, especially like Haito's in his punk era now. If this was Kaz's hurrah to All Japan, like he's not coming back, I didn't think it was a bad way to go. He spoke some private words to Haito after the match in the ring before leaving. I wish they gave him mic time, 1 or 2 minutes just to say whatever he wanted. But he leaves All Japan as a junior legend. No one can take that away from him. It's without question. He holds the record for the most defenses in 2 reigns, and he has held the belt for over 1,000 days. Backstage or in the ring, I can't really remember. Hayato said he will destroy the image, history, and tradition of the belt. So I'm curious to see what he means by that and where he goes.
I think, and this is something I've been kind of cooking away in my head for a while now, I think with this, I finally have decided that, like, in terms of what I view as the standout junior heavyweight in this company, it's Hayato. I think a lot of people would probably still say Atsuki, which is fair. I think that's completely fair. And for in terms of opportunities, that makes the most sense because you've seen him the most in big opportunities. But with what he's done over the last couple of defenses, Musashi and now this, I think it's kind of undeniable. He's so special. Going on with the rail spot and smacking his face, it went from that straight into an Irish whip into the railing. And then Hayato looked like he was trying to fit between the bars. Like he put his body through it. I'm like, what are you doing, man? We just narrowly avoided beheading. And then we're going straight into this. Like what are you trying to aim for here? But yeah, I think Kaz is, I feel like there is a similarity between the two of them where it's just like, it's not, Kaz is obviously more decorated and had more time to build that resume for himself. But I don't even think he gets the roses that he deserves sometimes for being as pivotal as he was in that junior division for the time he was there. And I think Hayato right now is probably in that position where like he isn't slept on, but he also isn't considered to be that guy yet. So I do see similarities between the two of them for sure. I do want to make mention just very quickly, like this whole card was really good. All the tag matches leading into it were actually really fun. Like the main ones I want to point out, because this one is just for me, apart from Kono, you can get rid of him in my opinion. Suwama and Hideki versus Funaki and Kono is a very me-coded match. Anytime Funaki is in a ring with someone like Hideki, I'm always going to be happy and enjoy myself there. But especially the match before the junior heavyweight, Honda and Anzai versus Cyrus and Davey Boy, that was the best match for both Cyrus and Davey Boy, in my opinion. They went balls to the wall the entire time, and it makes sense now after the announcement, but Honda getting the pin on Cyrus with the lariat was so impressive. That those two, I know that Saito's hold the belts, but like give New Period another tag chance. Like they're so great together, and their chemistry is so good against pretty much anyone that you throw in there. I love that match as well. So yeah, just wanted to give props there.
Yeah, the undercard for big shows, they have like hidden gems every now and then. And I just want to give a shout out to the juniors because we kind of ignore them during this tour. But I think the juniors for All Japan are just so good, especially with the people they have now guest spotting. They're just working so well. And like you said, they outshine the heavyweights. And I think I'm going to bring this back to like January, February when All Japan was kind of in like turmoil. But I think a lot of people need to look at the juniors during that time. They were still putting on amazing matches. Like that was during Dan's reign. And Dan was having really, really good matches, and people are just focused on like the heavyweights or Nakajima's Inoki now. Don't focus on that. Focus on the junior heavyweights. Like even now, just keep doing it throughout the year. I know people kind of throw their matches to the side because they like the big guys. Okay, All Japan match, here's a Kento match. It's like, no, here's a Hayato match. Here's a Dan Tamura match. Like when Asuki and Inoue come back, watch them too. Like the juniors are so good and they need more respect and more acknowledgement.
And I think too, being in on a smaller scale, All Japan, as compared to, say, Noah or New Japan, you'll find that the gentle touch of booking is way more important there. And, like, everyone gets a chance to shine. It doesn't matter. Like, talking about rookies getting their first wins, I remember when Inoue got his first win in their tournament, and everyone made a huge deal of it that was following. And I think that kind of, like, It's almost like having a small following for a band when a band is really small and you're one of a couple of hundred people. That kind of feeling of like, I have personal investment in this beyond that of just like, I like this person. Like, I want to see them grow and develop and get better. That kind of person, like that connection is so much stronger than just like, well, this is good. Or like, these are good matches. Like, it's more than that. Like, you want to see that person succeed and grow. So I think that's a huge selling point for just All Japan in general. Like, they really care about their junior division. Even though it's small, they really care about it, and it shows.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about the new generation with Anzai and Honda and the Saitos, but like all the juniors are really young too. Mm-hmm. And on that magazine cover about the new generation, Dan and Hayato were there too.
Yeah.
But you can't leave out Asuki and Inoue when they come back. And Sato, we have to say Hikaru Sato. He's not young. He's in his 40s, I think. Sure. But he is such an integral part of this division.
He's also holding like three belts at the moment. Like he's killing it. He's smashing. That's the thing. Like, yeah, you're right. Like all of them came together in a time period just before COVID, pretty much. And like, I think a lot of people forget that like Dan, Atsuki and Hayato all were together at the same time coming up. And you're right. Like, I think that's mainly like, it's kind of referenced, but a lot of the time, I think people just look at them as singular things. That is a generation of junior heavyweights that like, have shaped that company in a matter of years.
We love the junior heavyweights, but we've got to move on to the heavyweights now with the main event. Match of the tour, hands down, for me. But it was a Kento final, so it was always going to be good. I love that June dominated here. It felt like every time Kento got momentum, June stopped it, just like Hideki and Anzai. I love the towel sport they do now, where it's like what Tanahashi used to do. They take the fan's towel, they rub their face. In this one, he rubbed Kento's face with the towel. He rubbed the referee's face with the towel. Even Ray got it because Ray was at ringside watching his brother. When June hit the psycho break, I thought he won. But there was a little voice in the back of my head like, Kento hasn't even tried the shutdown suplex yet. You can't win a match if Kento hasn't tried to hit the suplex. But he did hit it and June kicked out. And the announcer said Zeus and Jake Lee are the only two who have kicked out. But I'm 100% sure Yuma's kicked out of it.
Kicked out or broken out? I'm wondering if that's what they're trying to differentiate.
Because everyone breaks out of it.
Yeah, a lot of
people. I didn't go back and watch it because I've watched too much wrestling. And I'm like, I don't want to watch another match. I will go back and watch it soon. But I'm 100% sure Yuma kicked out in their last match.
Yeah.
But if it is just Jake Lee and Zeus, June's in really good company.
Oh, huge. I mean, even if it's Yuma as well, that's a huge, huge deal. Massive deal. Yeah, I'll let you finish. I've obviously written quite a bit because it's a Saito brother, so I'm gonna be talking a bit about it. But yeah, I think massive deal for June. Just that spot alone, if that's all he had gotten, huge, huge.
Like, I don't have much else except for, like, this match was great. What else can I say? Like, this was like a star-making performance for June. It really, really was. Me thinking, you know, it should have been Sawama, I'm glad it was June.
I wrote, there was a part of the match where June went for the psycho breaker and Kento broke out into the back and forth exchange. And then that offense we were talking about, which was the knee to the back of the head, just continual like blackout knees, blackout knees, blackout knees. And then like that from June was brilliant. I also said like, I used to think Ray was far and away the better worker of the two of them. I think if you talked to me this time last year for CC, I would have been like, June's there, but like Ray is the guy. Like that's the dude if there was ever going to be a singles guy. And now after the Triple Crown match and this, I think it's so equal footing, but in such different ways for the two of them that it's like genuinely quite impressive that you have people like that close in age, so similar, build is similar enough that like it's hard to distinguish at times probably for brand new fans, but if you just watch closely enough in the ring, the world's different, I would say. The last thing I wrote was, imagine saying 2 years ago, oh, the finals of the CC will be a Saito versus Kento, and then like seeing someone's reaction. Like I was thinking, like, oh, imagine telling Jesse that 2 years ago. I was like, yeah, Voodoo Murders brother, that dude's gonna be in the CC against Kento.
I would have stopped watching.
Oh, furious. But then like that's all you have to do is just let guys wrestle, get rid of a shitty manager and a name attached to them, and look what happened.
I love the little fist bump at the end between them.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about what happens next, because Kento won. He now challenges Anzai. I have very strong feelings about it.
Yes.
I don't think he should have won. It's too early for Anzai to lose the belt, and it's too early for Anzai to pin Kento.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to happen now is a 60-minute draw.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. Because either way, neither decision sits particularly well with me either. Like, I think you're right. I think the win against Nakajima, I think, was testing the waters to begin with anyway, which is fair. And I think that's a pretty fair assessment. But having him beat Kento as his first defense would be crazy. Like, I can't see it. I think, if I'm being honest, I think Kento is going to probably win that belt. Which, again, is okay in my head only for the fact that Yuma, he's so young.
Mm.
This is his first run. You can just chalk it up to luck, ultimately. And, like, I think, again, that the entire story of the tournament plays out. I was in my bag on that night. I'm not always going to be that good. I still need time to kind of get better at being consistent in that way.
Yeah, I think there is a story if Kento wins, saying Anzai's not there yet.
Mm.
Like, he's... You can say he's like nowhere near close to beating Kento, but there's a better story if June won. Because Kento in the press conference is like, the Champion Carnival press conference, sorry, I should say. He's like, oh, you know, the new generation, I'm going to crush you. And then he was in A block and there was no one from the new generation in A block.
Yep.
So if June won, he faces Anzai. Kento just runs through the new generation and then faces their leader, Yuma Anzai. Yep. That's not going to happen. We have Anzai facing Kento now. But I just want to say how confident Anzai looked in the ring with Kento.
Mm.
Where did this Anzai come from? Has he been studying Kento or something? I was really surprised how confident and just like on Kento's level he looked when they had the post-show, you know, talking, whatever you call it.
No, sure. I think you're right. And like considering the positions Anzai's been put in, real make or break. Like, you could crumble under that pressure. A lot of people probably would, but he's never faltered. Like, he's always done the absolute best he could possibly do in all the positions he's been in, and he's been in some pretty insane positions at this stage. So yeah, I agree. I think adversity makes you who you are as quickly as humanly possible, and you either have to kind of get into shape of what you need to be, or you're not going to be able to figure it out, and he's been able to figure out this entire time.
There's two big shows coming up. There's All Together Again, which All Japan's going to be on this time, and All Japan's having a charity show. And I've seen people saying, like, do you think they're going to put the belt on Kento so he walks in to the charity show as champion and All Together as champion? I don't know if those two, like, need Kento as champion, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a story that's going on through the entirety of Japan and all the companies of, you know, what is the representation for the younger generation? We need to build stars now because we've spent years not doing that, or, like, kind of, some people would say, messing it up in other companies, which I don't know if that's particularly true. But yeah, I think it depends. Like, do you want to walk in with Anzai as the face of the new generation, or do you want to bring Kento out, who is obviously beloved and has been? Like, I mean, you look at when he went and did, I think it was Nagata's anniversary, and even the Muto show in the Dome, like, he massive reactions on both of those for fan bases that aren't like typically his. So he's well loved across the entire board. But I guess it depends on what kind of statement you want to make ultimately.
I will say, because I was in Japan earlier this year, Anzai is so loved by just everyone. Like, there's no doubt. So I think him staying as champion, people still be like, oh my God, this is it. This is the guy. Like, you know, he's just going to get more and more love by people who don't watch All Japan. I see it now. But he's not ready to beat Kento.
Yeah, I know. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, which again, we could have avoided this situation. I mean, like, if Yuma had won, beating Yuma, that's okay. Losing to Yuma, also probably okay as well. But, like, beating Yuma would have been fine. Like, yeah, it's still okay.
Well, Yuma.
Yeah, no, listen, he's getting there. He's so close. That, like, I can feel it. He's very close to being in that position where it's a massive, massive deal to beat him as a challenger. But if you wanted to keep this going and not have him have a huge, massive win right at the start of it, which just taking the title in itself was a huge achievement, you could have put someone else in that position.
Well, that was our review for the carnival. And now I just have some notes about it. All Japan has two new rookies. Their first show was actually Raizen Hayato's New Chronicle Z show. But the carnival was, like, their big challenge. I am unsure of the names as recording. I know they have been announced, but I'm not sure if the translation is correct, because the translation does change Sawama's name to Masua, and people run with that, even though that's not his name. So I'm waiting until, like, proper translation comes out before I'm like, yep, yeah, this is Rookie A and this is Rookie B. So Raizen Hayato did a photo shoot for Nylon magazine. The photos were amazing and a must see, but I think it's just really cool to have All Japan wrestlers, like, in mainstream media. And unfortunate news, as Ryu Inoue has injured his knee halfway through the carnival. Luckily, he doesn't need to have surgery, and he was at Buntai high-fiving fans, which was really cute. Yeah, but like I said before, with him and Asuki out, there's only two signed juniors left. And I need your opinion on the last one, because announced at Buntai, EC3 and tag team The End will appear on the last show of April on the 29th. EC3 will defend his NWA Heavyweight Championship against Ryuki Honda, and The End will face Junior Rei Saito for the World Tag Team Championships.
Yep. give Honda the NWA title and let him help save your company with his four counts. I don't know why. I just don't understand. I reckon I could probably go through the NWA roster and find a better fit for somebody to come over and do a tour. Like, he's so sports entertainment brained. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand. And, like, The End are great. I've loved them. They were in the first ever, I think it was the first one that I watched, first ever World Tag League that I watched, and I really enjoyed them. I thought they were quite fun. So seeing them challenge would be cool. I think it's a pretty easy defense for the Saitos, in all honesty. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't care. I really could care less about the EC3 thing. Like, I get why. Nothing goes more hand in hand than Japan and having an ex-WWE guy come in. Like, they just love it. But I'm just not interested. I'm not interested whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree. Like, when they announced the end, I'm like, okay, I know these guys. Like,
yeah.
Like, same with you. I first watched them in the tag league. So I'm just like, if they came back, they come back. If they don't, it wouldn't bother me. EC3 is just a weird one. I remember when they were announcing it, I was kind of watching the stream, kind of whatnot, and I heard the announcer say WWE. Is like, oh no, what's happening again? It's happening again. And he said TNA and then NWA. I was like, okay, some old guy. And then EC3 popped up. I'm just like, huh? I didn't even know he was champion in the company.
No one does because nobody watches NWA.
It's just such a weird wrestler to announce.
Yeah.
Like, who ever thought this would happen? Ugh.
I don't know. It doesn't make, like, I can think of like three other Western companies that I would rather have their champion come in and do a defense against Honda. It's awesome that it's Honda. I think that's the right person to pick. That's definitely, and such a cool opportunity for him. Makes sense why he got a win against Cyrus to get him hot for going into that. But I just think, could we not do it with any other person? Like, I don't know. It's just not going to be great. Like, the dude is, it's not his fault. He's an older guy. He works a certain kind of style. It's just not going to be great.
It's funny because I don't want to call out anybody, but I see a lot of people seeing this. I'm like, oh yeah, that's so cool. EC3 in All Japan. I'm just like, do you watch All Japan? Like, who are you? Like, no, this isn't cool.
This dude is going to get crushed. If this is anyone else, you should have just let Hideki challenge, and then you would have actually seen something interesting. Like, watching how to navigate that match, that would have been fun to watch, with him just being like, well, we're going to work like I want to work, and EC3 being like, well, I don't know how to do that. So yeah, I don't know. I just think it's just such an interesting choice is probably what I would say, to be diplomatic about it. Not one I would personally ever choose.
Going back to the first day of the carnival, Honda versus Lord Crew. And Honda is loved by the fans. He was so over. And that was Lord Crew's first match. And, you know, you're not going to get, like, amazingly cheered in your first match. So the fans were still figuring him out, who he is. Is that going to happen with the EC3? No one's really going to cheer for him. And, like, everyone's going to just go for Honda.
Yeah. And you don't have a month to build good grace. Like, you will come in, you'll probably work a tag before, and then you'll go straight into the match. No one gives a shit. Everyone will challenge, like, everyone will cheer for Honda, which they would probably anyway, even if you were well known. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's such a questionable decision. You do, like you said, I think you need some time before you need to do something of importance to get a reaction. So you need to be there for a little bit, but that's just not how people want to do things. They want to come in, they want to be like, I had a match in Japan for a title, and then I went home.
So. Yeah, that's like the next show is with that match. Mm-hmm. Like, the end, okay, people know them. That's fine.
Yeah.
Kento is versus Yuma in the main event.
Yeah.
Anzai, I should say, sorry. Yeah. So that's fine. Yeah. It's just, like, it's kind of staying on the card.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's very weird. It's very, very weird. And, like, I don't know a ton of the old NWA title defenses that did happen over in Japan. My understanding, a lot of them happen in New Japan. A lot of them are not anything to write home about anyway. So I don't know. Again, I just think you could have made better decisions about who you partnered with for somebody to come over and have a defense. And it wouldn't have been NWA, in my opinion.
Like, this could just be like a little spot in All Japan's year. EC3 comes over, wins, leaves, that's it. Bye. We forget about it. We move on to the next show.
Well, if somebody had the opportunity to go over and do, even though I know they don't have much of a following, do something over there, that's, I think, is an okay thing as well. And a bit of a good kind of teaching point for what it's like to wrestle in America, especially if you can get help with getting a visa, because I know that's a real issue right now. If you can go over and do a couple of like a taping for them and then come back, that's great if that's what they get out of it. But I don't know. I don't know much. I don't know if NWA get much out of this ultimately.
Or a better option is for the wrestlers to come here to Australia.
All that. Well, I don't know. Me and you talked about Ishino and Jackson talked about it a little bit. So it's potential. I really hope it's not in Perth, but we'll see.
I travel to Perth to watch bloody
Elimination
Chamber this year, so I will travel anywhere in Australia just to see
true.
One man, Ashino.
True, true, true. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. There's another by association Japanese wrestling company that's running in our hometown that has a card that's been already been put up, and I'll tell you what, I won't be paying any money to go to that. Yeah.
Call them out.
Yeah, fucking Tamashii. Yeah, sorry. Like, just if you want people to go, I don't know what to tell you. Like, make a bit of an effort.
Yeah, I want to talk about it, but this is the All Japan podcast. So
yeah,
I'm just
yeah,
saying,
yeah. We'll leave it. I was just making you
better card in New Japan. Anyway, back to All Japan.
Yeah.
Lewis, who was your MVP of the month? Oh, tournament, I should say.
It's either Ray or June, which is such a me answer, but I think it is. Honestly, without any bias, I really do think that has to be it. I'm going to say June because I think, like, Ray, I expect a certain level from at this stage, and he's been delivering that ever since he's come back from injury. But June has won me over big, big time. Like, I think when I found out that he was replacing Ray for the Triple Crown Championship match, I was like, that's cool, and, like, it makes sense, and I'm glad that we're still getting a Saito doing a defense, but, like, eh, whatever. And then I watched it, I was like, that was really decent, like, a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And then this entire tournament, I've just been like, wow, this guy is really good. It's funny, like, I feel like when Ishikawa was still in the company, he's deceptively fast for what you would imagine a guy of his size and weight can do. And June is a bit like that. Like, you look at him from the get-go and you're like, okay, I can kind of just see, like, he's a brawler, but, like, it's a little bit more than that. Like, it's a step above what you think it's going to be in terms of pace. And people like that always excite me. I think it's always awesome when you have bigger dudes that can really move about the ring at pace to kind of speed matches up where you're like, okay, it's going to be kind of like slow and meandering. So he's my pick, in my opinion.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I was actually, just like you, tossing up between Ray and June. But I'm like, nah, it's got to be June. After the finals he had,
yeah,
it's got to be June. And we actually forgot to mention this during the match. But afterwards, the finals, Ray's like, you can eat sweets again. It's okay. You lost with the sweet sweets. And June's like, no, I can't. I lost. I can't eat them.
Well, his entrance video, the specially made hype videos just as they're doing their entrances, featured sweets in them. And I was like, is this? Because I didn't know until you just told me that. I was like, what is the significance of these chocolates and lollies? I don't really understand.
It's such a sweet thing for these two big guys to fight about, just like sweets and lollies.
It's yeah. And like two huge dudes, like I said, with deep voices saying doom all the time. And he's like, his brother is like, beer, you're like, yeah, yeah, cool. And then this other dude who's making the final is like, well, I can't eat any lollies, sorry.
And match of the tournament.
Hmm.
For a long time, it was Anzai versus Honda. But ever since the finals, nah, Kento versus June. It's got my vote.
We talked about mine, and it was Anzai versus Ray. I ended up going with that. I really like the finals. Like, I really, really enjoyed the finals. But I think probably because I've missed him more than anything, it's probably a little bit of that. I think having that be, like, in my opinion, Ray's, like, own little final in terms of his best performance, I felt like that was it. And, like, yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of love for that man. I just think he'll always just, like, in terms of favoritism, just be slightly above June, even though skill-wise they're just as good as each other. And I think having Anzai play the role that he did, trying to overcome an impossible mountain, I enjoyed that so much. And I love matches that are like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's neck and neck with the final for me as well.
Anzai versus Ray was just, like, one of the matches of the tournament.
Yeah.
100%. No doubt.
It's that. Actually, you know what? It's three. It's that or the Gaiora TV. Like, that's pretty hard.
Man, yeah. Well. Yeah, it's definitely the TV title is, like, top three.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just that good.
Yeah.
But now we've actually reached the end. So thank you all so much for listening to the first ever episode of Jumping Knee Pod. If you want to get in touch, you can find me on Twitter at Sister Jessie with two S's and two E's. You can also find my All Japan account at Royal Road 72 because All Japan's international account is inactive. So follow me instead.
And you will get all the news that you would have gotten anyway from them, from Jess, so it's fine. You can find me at Hideki Suzuki's Purple Trunks. I'm pretty sure it's still that. I think that's the only place you can find me. I'll usually just be tweeting bullshit about All Japan or occasionally most of the time it's about All Japan. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Before we go, I just have a couple of special thank yous. Thank you to Don for putting together the Jumpy Kneepod theme. This is the second theme he's put together for me, the first being Talking Triple Crowns. If you are looking for a theme song, I highly recommend Don. I'll put his email in the description. Thank you to Dylan Fox from the Eastern Lariat for making the awesome logo for me and like a million other things. Thank you for Ruth for, in her words, being my virtual cheerleader. And thank you so much to Lewis for being my first guest in trusting me with this. And thank you all for listening once again. I was your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen.
Touchdown!
Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This has been a Countout Podcast.